Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, episode 278 of the Get Around podcast. Happy to be with you on this lovely Monday afternoon as we're getting ready to go out and cover girls basketball regionals later tonight. You're probably listening to this after Monday night's slate of games has been played, but we will get into some talk about girls basketball regionals, boys basketball, state quarterfinals, the Bay Reps making it to the state semifinals in hockey. There's a lot to talk about in this episode of the Get Around podcast. I'm your host, sports editor of the Traverse City Record Eagle, Brendan Queeley, alongside me, James Cook and Jordan Puente. Boys, how are we doing?
It's a good week. Sun's out. It's nice.
It is. It is. It is nice that the sun is out, and sometimes it's nice to eat a sandwich outside. And with that, let's hear a word from our sponsor who makes sandwiches, Jimmy John's. This episode of the Get Around is brought to you by Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's has two locations here in Traverse City. Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got question of the week time right now. And I bring this up because I want to know how you guys feel about it. How I know that we're night owls. Maybe, I don't know, I am, right? Are you guys?
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay. All right. So daylight savings time doesn't bother me all that much. I don't know how you guys feel about it. So question of the week, daylight savings time, yay or nay?
I say make it permanent. Yeah. So, like, keep it the way so there's more time at night.
So keep daylight savings time all the time.
Yeah.
It's the standard time that's that screws it up, right?
Yeah. Okay. I don't care about an extra hour of daylight in the morning.
Yes.
I get that.
I care about an extra hour of daylight in the evening.
Yeah, that part.
It'd be nice to be able to drive home from a basketball game when it's still light out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that would ever really happen, but,
yeah.
You know.
I like the extra hour of sleep that I get when we fall back, and I used to care about the hour of sleep that I'd lose when we spring forward, but now with my sleep schedule, I'm up when the clocks change. So like when 2 o'clock hits and it jumps to 3, I'm just like, oh, okay. Like it's not that. I know it messes up a lot of people. I know that I think as a dog owner, the drop back is harder than the spring forward.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 8 o'clock comes around and it's time for Saints to get his chicken chew. But, you know, for him, it's 8 o'clock. But when we spring forward, it's 7 o'clock, and when we fall back, it's an hour later, and yeah. so he's getting it, you know, has to get adjusted to it.
Oh yeah,
I feel
cats
bad.
Are definitely creatures of habit.
Oh even yeah,
cats are too. Our cats
yeah.
are too.
Yeah, you know, mine's a specific
feeding schedule.
And yeah,
yeah, it can mess with them too.
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned to appreciate it a lot more since I moved here because I didn't realize I'm so used to sunshine that it does not really affect me at all, which is why a lot of people in California do not like it because it's like. It doesn't affect us at all. But moving here, I've learned to greatly appreciate it a little bit more. That, yeah, we do need that extra hour of sunshine. It does kind of helps a little bit. So I've learned to change my opinion on this severely because I moved here. That's it. There's no other reason.
I'd be interested to see what would happen if you had to move to Alaska for a job and deal with a month of darkness.
I'll be their guy. I'll be like Jack Nicholas in The Shining, just searching for something. Realize he's been dead this whole time.
Jack Nicholson, not Jack Nicholas, the golfer.
The golfer. Yeah, right. I kind of messed up on that one. I kind of caught myself.
No, that's all right. I just
appreciate
wanted,
it.
Just wanted to correct it for our listeners so
they know.
They know that we know.
No, we do.
Speaking of Alaska, you ever see that movie 30 Days of Night?
I have a couple of times actually.
Yes.
That was a good one. I love the premise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Good question.
And, well, speaking of that, we might as well just get into the area code game since we get to play it for the first time since episode 276.
Wow.
So the answer for our guesses, I'm sorry, for 276, I picked obviously Los Alamos for Oppenheimer, which I watched again last night after watching the Oscars, which was very entertaining. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch the Oscars.
I did. That was something.
It was very entertaining. Ryan Gosling is a national treasure.
Yes.
And
that was awesome.
Deserves everything. All of the wonderful things that happened to him, he deserves.
Yes.
And then I was so happy to see Oppenheimer get the love that it got, especially Cillian Murphy winning and getting an Oscar. It was so nice as someone who's watched him and like I loved him in 28 Days Later, and then to see him, what he did as Tommy Shelby in Peaky Blinders over 6 seasons was incredible. And then, again, watching his performance in Oppenheimer is
very good.
It's so good. He's so good. And to see him win last night was great.
Well, he'd worked with Nolan before in Batman.
He worked with Nolan so many times.
And Inception.
And Inception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the one I vividly remember him in.
He's just so good, but like, him as a person, he's so soft and quiet and understated, but you put a camera on that guy and he's
kind of humorous.
He's bigger than the screen. You know, it's
It was so cool. That was cool to see Oppenheimer be able to win some awards as they deserved it.
Yes.
It's a good movie.
I did want to see Lily Gladstone win for Best Actress.
We're all on the same page on that one.
I thought that was a shoo-in. I haven't seen Poor Things.
Neither have I. But I'm a...
You know, but I still look at Gladstone's performance. I left that movie theater when I saw that at Killers of the Flower Moon at the State.
Pretty emotional.
And I'm like, that's one of the best I've ever seen. So, like, when I watched Poor Things, Emma Stone has a lot to live up to. So, but I figured we'd talk a little bit of Oscars just
beautiful.
Just during the area code game. But
wow, nice,
lots of fun. John Mulaney should host next year.
Oh please, with Hope Beyond a Dream. Find out
if you guys haven't. I highly suggest watching his monologues that he did with Nick Kroll when they host the Independent Film Spirit Awards.
Oh, nice.
They hosted back-to-back years. YouTube it, watch it later tonight. They are brilliant. So if Mulaney and Kroll want to host the Oscars next year, I think that would be great.
They'd be a great pair. Both great comedians.
Honestly.
So, all right, so our, like I said, the guesses for the 276 area code, Los Alamos, New Mexico for me for Oppenheimer. Everett, Michigan?
Oh, Jordan, yeah, because of the movie. There was a movie about a lottery winner's family.
Oh, yeah, Large Marge or something.
That one, yeah. Wow, that was a long time ago.
Winning with Marge.
Yeah. There was a movie. Oh.
And then, James, you had Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, for Echo.
For Echo, the yes. Marvel. Okay.
Got it.
The answer is Southwestern Virginia.
Interesting.
So...
No one was really close?
Nope. No one
was at all.
No one was.
Sorry,
even
guys.
Within several states.
Not even several states
even
away.
Hear it. So, okay.
Sorry, guys.
Anyone want to start off with their guesses for 279?
I'll go. Because I honestly think this might be one of the best movies I've seen in a very, very long time. Several varies.
Are you going to pick Arrakis?
No, I'm actually picking where they filmed. Where I had to look up specifically. They had several different destinations, but the one that makes kind of the most sense is based off the desert vibes. I'm going Dune Part 2, and where they filmed it at Abu Dhabi.
Going out of the country.
Yes.
Okay.
Bold call.
Yeah, it is pretty bold. I still have to give that movie so much love.
For Dune 2.
Part 2.
James?
We've been watching mostly kind of TV shows that aren't necessarily
location-based.
And stuff recently. But one thing we did watch is Trevor Noah's new comedy special.
Oh.
And that was filmed at the Fox Theater in downtown Detroit.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Nice. What's the name of the special?
I can't remember what the name of it was. But it's Yeah, it was filmed in the Fox Theater, and he brings it up several times that he's in Detroit filming it there. So, and it was a great special, too.
Nice.
All right, I am going to have a little bit of fun because the two shows that I've been watching recently, I started watching The Gentlemen on Netflix because I really enjoyed the movie. And so I was like, I'll give the series a shot and see how that is. That just debuted last week. Mm-hmm. And then this popped up on Hulu, Extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this show, but it's a cool concept. It's everyone on Earth, when they turn 18, their superpower is revealed.
Oh,
so, like,
yes.
Everybody's a superhero, but they're not a superhero until they're 18. And that's when their superpower is revealed. And this show follows a girl in her mid-20s whose power has yet to be revealed. So she's, like, the only person on Earth that seemingly doesn't have
the
power.
Yeah.
And so both of those are out of the United States, and I was trying to figure out how I'm going to do this because I like both shows. I'm going to go with The Gentleman, and it's the setting for that is Halsted Manor. And so I looked up. I was like, is there any sort of Halsted in the United States? So there is, in fact, a Halsted Manor here in the United States, and it's in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. There's also the Halsted Meat Processor, which is in Grayling, Michigan.
No way. Oh, wow.
There's Halsted Avenue, which is in the Chicagoland area. And then there's a city in Kansas that is called Halsted. But I think I'm going to go with the Halsted Manor in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. So I'm going to choose Pennsylvania when we come back in a couple of weeks or whatever. And I'm like, Susquehanna, Pennsylvania? How the hell did I choose that? We'll figure it out, but we'll get those guesses. And hey, if you guys want to jump in and play around the area code game here on the Get Around, email us at resports@record-eagle.com. We haven't gotten one yet. Just send us an email.
Say hi.
Like, you know, a one that isn't, that doesn't have scores and stats in it and isn't angry at us for something that we didn't do.
We got one the other day from Elk Rapids.
Oh, we did. Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we do get those a lot. I was just like,
send a hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
Even just a hi. Those are always nice. So, okay. One more word from our sponsor, Jimmy John's, and then we will get into the Pulse. This episode of the Get Around podcast is sponsored by Jimmy John's with two locations here in Traverse City. Jimmy John's spends 6 hours slicing and baking every day to make you a 30-second sandwich. Jimmy John's, freaky fresh, freaky fast.
Freak yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, time for the Pulse. Let's get into some hockey action. Bay Reps falling short in the state semifinals. Short of that history-making state finals appearance. No Bay Reps team in the program's 24-year history has made it to the state championship game, and I think we all kind of thought this was going to be the year.
A little bit.
That they were going to, but they ran into an East Grand Rapids team that they beat 5-2, I believe, earlier in the year, and fell 3-0 down there. Down there at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth. Were you guys surprised? First of all, did you guys watch the game on Friday? I would imagine that you probably didn't, because I know you guys were so busy with getting prepared to cover basketball that night.
No.
So
your updates were the ones out.
But, yeah, were you guys surprised when I texted you Bay Reps lost 3-0?
Yeah, I was.
I was keeping track on Twitter. I was keeping track on some updates from people who were there on Twitter, so I saw what was going on and everything. And I don't know if I would say I was surprised or not. I mean, just because it's the Final Four, you're playing other elite teams. So, and East Grand Rapids is really, really good this season. So, not completely shocking, but you know, I was hoping that they would be there on Saturday for sure.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing the result of the first game where Hancock lost. I was like, ooh, this maybe opens the door a little bit more because... Or Houghton, I mean.
Lost 5-0, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, they were supposed to be the team who was just supposed to be destroying everybody.
Yeah.
So that kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit even before the refs game started. But yeah, East Grand Rapids obviously has a pretty good team. And a lot of times in hockey and playoffs, it's just if you run into a good hot goalie at the wrong time.
Yeah. And Joe Green, who is the goalie for, not Mean Joe Green.
No.
No.
He's mean to the refs.
That was a good one.
He had a stellar season except for that game where he gave up 5 goals on 19 shots to the refs. And that was the one thing that I was going into the game that I was kind of, I was worried about. I'm like, all right, was that just an aberration? Like, on that, did he just have an off night that night, you know? Or did the reps just find themselves in the right place at the right time? Did the puck just bounce their way that night? And watching the early part of that game, when it started, that first period, I think this is a game that the reps could lose.
Did they start slow?
It was the first... It wasn't that they started slow.
Because that happens a lot with them this season.
It was that they were allowing East Grand Rapids to dictate the style and pace of play.
Gotcha.
And seeing that and seeing in the past how the Bay Reps have always been able to control that. Even when they're not scoring, they're still forcing the other team into their system.
Yeah.
And East Grand Rapids was just like, well, we've seen you already. We know how to prepare and how to get around that system.
Happens.
And they did a really good job, East Grand Rapids, the Pioneers, of coming out in the second period and playing a different style than they played in the first stop. They switched it up.
Oh.
Coming out in the start of the second, they were much more physical. They were hitting a lot more. They were checking a lot more.
Oh, wow.
And so in the first, they used a lot of speed. In the second, they used a lot of force and power. And then in the third, they were up at that point 2-0, and they were able to just play a conservative style that kept puck control with East Grand Rapids and limited what the Bay Reps could do. And so it was going to be very difficult. I knew that they needed to score within the first, like, 5 minutes of the third period for them to get a chance. And then they had back-to-back power play opportunities as well, the Reps did. And
And
they weren't able to convert on either of those. And that really hurt because I think it does become a different game if, say, you pull a goalie and it's 2-1, but they had to pull the goalie, and it was still 2-0. And then the empty netter made it 3-0, and that was it, unfortunately, for the Reps. So, but wow. I will say for all of us who have seen them play this year, I wrote a column about it that was published yesterday. If you're interested in knowing my thoughts on the Reps, I suggest checking that out either on record-eagle.com or picking up a copy of the newspaper and checking that out. But I was just so impressed with the Reps this season, how they played, at their style of hockey. As I said, I mean, high school boys are immature just because they're not done growing yet.
No.
They're not done maturing yet.
Yeah.
You know, they're not done learning yet. None of us are ever done learning, but...
I get what you're saying.
You know, as I said in my column, hockey is this, and has been a game that is cheered on for its physicality and sometimes brutality and hits and fights and those things. And so if grown men who have matured and fall into those traps, it's so easy for a high school kid to do that as well. But this team didn't. You know, I don't know if you guys ever saw the Bay Reps do anything that was questionable or dirty. I'm sure they probably did. We didn't see every minute of every game, you know. But the times that I was there and watched them, they played a disciplined style of hockey that I think sets the standard for future programs for the Reps.
Yeah, that was – it's still kind of shocking to me, to be honest. So I'm kind of still a little bit speechless. But, I mean, they still have a good chunk of – if I look correctly, they still have a good chunk of their players coming back, no?
They lose five seniors. Grant Lucas, our player of the year.
Ethan Coleman?
Well, Ethan Coleman.
Oh, boy.
Who's probably third in our player of the year. Thomas Boynton Fisher, who's probably second in our player of the year.
Oh, wow.
Lars Millar and Ryan Lannan. So those five. But they have a lot of good players.
Yeah, that's net. That's
I joked with head coach Mike Matucci, because he's just really excited to see, you know, what this current crop of Bay Reps is going to become over the next, you know, couple of years. And I said it would be fun interviewing Joel Zycina, who's a freshman on the Reps, when he's like 6'3 and 220 pounds by his senior year. So, and Matucci was just like, that kid's so good. He's so good at hockey.
Their goalkeeper, too. He's only a sophomore.
Tyler Boynton Fisher is only a sophomore.
So good.
They have a really
good core.
Good amount of talent coming
back. They seem like to always flush out talent, regardless of the season. If you even look past, like, all their 24 years, if I was to look back, I probably won't be finding a losing season anymore.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Tyler Boynton Fisher as a Player of the Year candidate come his senior year. So two seasons from now.
Honestly.
It could be
as a goalkeeper, too.
Yeah. It could be one of those situations where
he's going to be safe.
Recognize what a goalkeeper is doing. All right. Any final thoughts on the Reps before we move on to Boys Hoops State Quarterfinals?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. All right. Good deal. Well, congratulations to the Bay Reps on a fantastic 2023-24 season. Making it to the Final Four is a big deal, and you should all be proud of that, and I certainly hope you are. A couple of teams that are trying to make it to the Final Four, the Unfrozen Four, I guess you could say.
Nice.
In Boys Hoops, sixth-ranked McBain, 24-2, taking on unranked Menominee, which knocked off Elk Rapids, the team that I had picked last year, or picked last week, to go to the Breslin Center as the surprise. Menominee is 20-6. They are squaring off tomorrow, Tuesday, which could be today when you're listening to this, or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to it, or a couple of days before. But certainly, yeah. for us, it's tomorrow, right now, Tuesday, at Gaylord. James, looking at that game, should we expect McBain to make travel arrangements to get to East Lansing?
I kind of think so. You know, I mean, we don't know a whole lot about Menominee other than they beat Elk Rapids, and they're not ranked this season. But we've seen enough from McBain to know exactly what they are, which is not what anyone wants to run into in the playoffs. You know, you've got a 6'4 point guard who you can't press. You've got a 6'9, 6'10 in shoes, monster in the middle, and Evan Kaberkamp. And then you've got a bunch of good contributing players around them. You know, you've seen different ones come up different times. You know, in the game against Sanford Meridian, it was Clayton Englewright hitting a bunch of threes in that game that kind of stemmed a lot of the little runs that Sanford Meridian was making at Lake City. And sorry, I'm getting over a little cold, so my voice is a little different. Probably sounds better than normal. But
I appreciate the Michael Jordan flu game
honestly
effort that you're giving
today. Honestly,
and,
this week,
you know, and then they've got other times where, you know, they had Corbin Murphy got eight the other night, and he had a couple of times where they gave him the ball in the high post, and he just took his guy off the dribble for layups. Which was impressive, and then Clayton Hooker has been phenomenal, kind of coming off the bench as their sixth man, and just comes in and gives them another tall guy in the middle.
What year
is he
in high school?
He is only a freshman.
He's only a freshman.
Yes.
My goodness.
Wow. He's already like 6'5", 6'6".
Okay.
My goodness, they got trees.
Yeah.
Legit, just Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, they're a team that you don't want to see in the playoffs. They haven't lost to any team in Division 3 or 4 this year.
Yeah.
The only teams they've lost to are Division 1.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and they only have two losses. That's the other thing.
Yeah, so. And they're both the Division 1 teams. Right. But yes.
Okay. Jeez. 7th-ranked Glen Lake in Division 4, 22-4, taking on number 4 Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. Jordan, what do you think the Lakers have to do to punch their ticket?
Few things. One, limit the turnovers. They had quite a few against Bel Air, which helped Bel Air climb back into it. I even asked Bradford about it. He alluded the same thing. Just cut the turnovers, make the shots. And then also just utilize Plamondon to its full advantage, because just based off what I was able to look up about Sacred Heart, they don't have any bigs or anyone that can match up to Plamondon's size. And as far as anyone else on that Glen Lake Lakers team. So, yeah, they just have to limit turnovers, make their shots, and just play the style of basketball that the Lakers have been playing all season. The only difference, I mean, the one thing that I find interesting is when Benji Central plays the same way with this fast-paced running gun, Sacred Heart does the same thing. So if the Lakers use their experience against Benji Central to their advantage against Sacred Heart, we could be possibly making, they could possibly be making travel arrangements as well. So,
do you look at the two losses that Glen Lake has to Benzie as a good thing? Coming into this is knowing that
they know what to prepare for.
Yeah, and that I mean, Benzie's a Division III team.
Correct. Okay, yeah.
Not that it makes, you know, it makes that big of a difference. I understand that. But those two losses are bound to kind of give the Lakers, they won't be surprised when they see Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. No. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the whole totality of it. They won't be surprised. It was interesting because a lot of times the games that I've watched Glen Lake play, I've never seen Plamondon play until just recently because he came back from injury. And it's been very interesting to see him develop as a player because he's only a sophomore. So he had to sit behind Hazleton last season and got to watch Hazleton play. And now he's in a starting role and now he's basically come into his own. And the first half, Bel Air did a great job of shutting him down. I mean, there was a point where I didn't think he was ever going to get the ball. And that says a lot about the Lakers team, that they have shooters who can shoot. Cooper Bufflini is one of them. Benji Allen is another one. Michael Ottoman, he was drilling threes left and right. Like, they have shooters who can shoot, and they trust them when Jacob Plamondon isn't getting the looks that he usually gets. So that's huge as well. So they utilize all their shooters when Plamondon can't get his. Yeah, I think they'll be okay.
Question I'm going to ask that I don't want either of you to answer. I just want you to think about it, and I want the listeners to think about it as well. Better coach, Bruce Copeman or Jason Bradford?
Oh, my goodness.
So don't answer it. Don't answer it. No one needs to answer it. Just something to ponder over. Those are the two head coaches left in boys basketball.
Wow.
Right now this season, and both with pretty good
resumes.
I would say.
That's a column waiting to be written by somebody.
It's a discussion. It's a discussion that would be a fun to have.
Yes.
But one that I don't think we need to have on the podcast.
No.
So,
no.
All right. Let's get into Girls Hoops Regionals. What we've got coming up tonight, actually, like I said, we are recording this Monday afternoon. Traverse City Central trying to follow up their first district title since 2008.
Six.
2006?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
2006, okay.
That's what everybody told me.
With a regional championship, they take on Midland Dow, which is 21-3. Do they have a shot tonight?
Their defense, if they hold up their, if their defense plays the way they play.
You watched them on Friday?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
How was the rebounding on the defensive end of the court?
I mean, it was, if you have Lucia France just outsizing everybody, the rebounding was helpful. Very helpful.
Okay. Because I was just curious that you didn't notice them giving up a lot of second and third opportunities.
There were sometimes, yes, but their defense held still.
Okay.
That was huge, and Jen spoke a lot about that, on how if they want to play Midlandau again, which they lost to him earlier this season.
By 19, yeah.
Correct. Their defense, apparently, the way she described it is their defense now is not what it was back then.
Okay.
So, could be seeing a different game.
Yeah, rebounding is going to be huge.
Very huge.
They cannot, at this stage, you can get away with in the regular season. You can. You can get away with giving up extra shots, extra chances, even sometimes giving up some extra points. But in the postseason, you cannot do that. Not even, like, once.
No.
You do not want to allow, because it can start to snowball.
Alpino almost.
And the momentum can find itself behind the opposition real quick.
Alpino almost got him. Alpino had a lot of chances to actually take a lead in the whole second half. Because Central entered the second half with the lead. And they never gave it up. But there were a lot of chances where Alpino could have easily swung things their way.
Alpino has a pretty big...
Yeah.
Pretty good big in the middle, too. I think when you have France and Zielinski on the court at the same time,
it's challenging.
It's really hard for teams to get defensive rebounds. If one of them gets in foul trouble or needs to sit for a while...
That was France.
Then it kind of opens that door a lot more, I think.
And that's what happened with Alpina.
If you got the two of them, you can just set one on one side of the rim, the one on the other. It's going to be hard to get boards against
them.
Yeah. Lucia was in foul trouble in the third quarter. She had three before the fourth even started. So she had to get benched. And then that's when Alpina made the run. And that's when things got a little bit scary.
They just need to find themselves in the right position. Their positioning against Midlandau is going to be critical.
Yeah.
They have to make sure that they're in the right spots.
Yes.
If they want to get the win.
Yeah. I agree.
It's Lucia.
I keep thinking it's Lucia for some reason. Lucia.
All right. Brethren, we're looking at first trophy since 1983. They actually kind of got the short end of the stick here. Because they have to travel to Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart and take on the host Irish, who are also 21-3.
On St. Patrick's Day weekend.
On St. Paddy's Day, yeah, heading into St. Patrick's Day.
Wow.
Yeah. So, wow. You know, they've got a lot going against them, but Julie Riggs and her crew, I did enjoy when she called.
She called me first.
Oh, she called you first?
Yeah. I couldn't pick up because I was typing a story.
Oh,
bad.
She called the office, and she said, I asked her how she's doing. She said, I'm still dancing on the moon.
Nice.
And that's when she told me that it might be the school's first trophy, or maybe the first program's first trophy since 1983.
It's been a while.
But, yeah, it was a big deal. And so, you know, that's a small school with a talented roster that could do some special things this year. So I say, why can't they beat Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart? Can't that happen? That can happen.
If I've learned anything about whenever I've covered Brethren from afar, spoken to Julie, she preaches defense like no other. And that's something they hang their hat on a lot. Even from last season, I can know how devastating their loss was last season to not get that district. So I'm pretty sure this is dancing on the moon. They are so thrilled. And I was thrilled for them when I saw the Brethren was able to pull it off. And of all teams they go against is Manistee Catholic Central. Of all teams. That's
yes. With the recently transferred
Grace Key. Exactly.
So,
like, of all teams, it's can't make that up.
Yeah, it's fun when storylines play out.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
It certainly is. Looking at Division III and a potential championship matchup that we have there, I know the two of you will be fighting over who gets to go and cover that game when it happens, I would imagine. Yeah, you guys might have to Rochambeau for it. I think that's probably a good way to settle it. Either that or a coin flip. Depends on how you guys want to.
I want to see the Caitlin Clark.
We could have number 7 Harbor Springs at 22-2 take on number 11 Elk Rapids, which is also 22-2, and they happen to share the Lake Michigan Conference title at 13-1 this year, and they split their season series 1-1. So we need this game to happen, right?
We need it in our veins.
We just need it to happen.
This has to happen.
I think
yes.
I would say that if Harbor Springs loses, Elk Rapids would be disappointed. And if Elk Rapids loses, Harbor Springs would be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I think both of these teams want to see each other again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Harbor Springs will have a little chip on their shoulder based off how last season ended, too. Because they lost to Elk Rapids in the postseason. So I would think they have a little bit of chip on their shoulders.
I will say this. The Bay Raps had a bit of a chip on their shoulders, too.
That's
because
true.
East Grand
that's
Rapids
true.
Ended their season last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And the chip didn't help too much.
No. Hey, we never know. Never know.
So, but you have Harbor Springs with six players, but one of those players is Olivia Flynn,
who
is incredible. And then Elk Rapids has a very good roster led by Kendall Stanfest, Morgan Bergquist,
yep.
and a great
supporting cast.
I would say supporting cast for that.
Well, good too.
Rylan Skrocky is really good as well. So.
She's been a nice addition.
You got to put her up there as one of the main contributors to the success of the team.
Allie Plum.
So do you guys want to do it right now? Do you guys want to Rochambeau right here on the pot?
We just put up for a poll.
We could
do that.
You always win the polls, though,
James. Yeah, man, it's not fair.
Yeah. You've been here too
I would
long.
Never.
You've been here
then
too
I could
long.
Just kiss. I will say this was kind of cool, though.
If it was a vote of who had... who's the best Brendan? And it was me versus you. You'd still win.
Yeah,
still
dude.
Get the votes.
That's not fair.
So
I will say this, though. It's been... when I went to cover Central, I probably will wind up wearing this T-shirt for whatever regional finals games I go to. Because this is like a finals T-shirt. Like, this is not a T-shirt where I'm wearing to like a district semifinals or regional semifinals. I'm speaking more specifically about my Caitlin Clark T-shirt. I wore that to the district finals. Got a great lot of compliments, a lot of looks. People wondering how cool that shirt was, because it was. Harrison Beebe, our good friend for 9 and 10. He looked
seven
at
and four.
7 and 4.
Fourth
you know
story.
Why do I think it was 9 and 10 for some reason? I don't know. My bad, Harrison.
Don't worry, he doesn't listen.
Oh wow, interesting. he looked at me. He was like, "Cool T-shirt." I was like, "Yeah, you know who I've coined the phrase." Caitlin Clark of Northern Michigan, we both looked at each other, we both smiled, we both knew who we were talking about. We're talking about Olivia Flynn. So we both kind of nodded, we didn't have to say it, we just kind of nodded, and I went to the opposite side of the court, I saw him do his thing, and he just left. Yes. I've waited a long time to cover Harbor Springs this season, because they're so far, so that's my case. I'm making my case. There it is.
I understand it, but like, I do think either a Rochambeau, a rock paper scissors, or a coin flip.
All right, let's do it. You want to do the coin flip? Because I can't flip
a
coin.
Happens first, though, right?
Yeah, well, obviously, it still has to happen. Obviously, they both still have to win today.
Yeah, do you think it's bad luck to Rochambeau on something that hasn't
Maybe.
Happened?
Maybe.
Is that bad luck?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, probably should wait on it.
Let's
probably wait.
Yeah.
I say we wait because I'm pretty superstitious.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll wait.
Good luck to both of them, though.
All right, the Division IV Regional at Kalkaska. Jordan, you and I will be headed out there tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Frankfort and Glen Lake face off in the 5:30 p.m. matchup, and then Mia McGregor and her 40 points a game, along with the Mayo Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm never going to...
Mio from Mayo.
Mio and Hamtramck.
Mio from Mayo.
Hamtrak.
If it makes
Mio and Hamtrak. That's and then they take on Gaylord St. Mary in the 7 o'clock game. We're guaranteed to have at least one local team in that final on Wednesday, so we're looking forward to that. Do we think that Gaylord St. Mary can slow down Mia McGregor and her incredible freshman season?
That's just crazy for somebody to do as a freshman.
Honestly.
Like, that's a higher average than, than Olivia Flynn had as a freshman.
Yeah.
She was in the 20s.
Yeah.
And she was, like, a shoe-in for All-State as a freshman.
Yeah.
And, man, that's crazy. Just 40 points a game. Kind of I'm interested to see. I would be interested to see her play, even though we don't cover Maya really and everything. But Resnich was telling me, Tim Resnich, the coach at Frankfurt, was telling me that he went and saw them when they played St. Ignace, and St. Ignace ran a like tailored full court press to stop her.
Couldn't where
they
do threw
three people at her, and then just had the other two people run down court and guard everybody else.
Oh no!
And she still scored 40.
Is she like really tall?
I don't think so. I think she's just like one of those quick guards.
I've seen her, and I'm like, well, you're not like, you know.
She's not short. She, you know, she's no. Like, I think she's like 5'7", 5'8", or something. No. You know, but she's not like a.
Who's the? I'm blanking on the name, but who is the stellar girls basketball player from Charlevoix? Elise Stuck. Yeah. So she's not as tall.
Senior at Michigan this year.
She's not as tall.
Oh, wow.
As. As Elise Stuck, right?
No, Elise Stuck is legit 6-footer.
Okay, yeah.
And wow. And guard.
Well, Jordan, you and I get to go and watch that tonight.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how much you'll be able to watch the game.
I'll probably watch from afar, maybe.
You'll be writing.
Yeah, I'll be too busy writing.
And working.
I think this is kind of would be worth noting, although the game hasn't happened yet. If Frankfurt was to pull off, they are underdogs heading into this immensely.
Yeah, it'd be a mini upset.
They would have snapped their 19-game losing streak against the Lakers.
Oh.
This dates all the way back to 2014-15 season.
Okay.
They have not beaten them since I was in high school.
We will see if that happens. And speaking of probably not great chances, but Lake City versus Manton, is there any chance that the Rangers pull off the upset? Lake City has dominated Manton in the two matchups this season. I think given up a total of 40 points in the two games to the Rangers. I think 18 and 22. I could be wrong on that. James, you're going to that game tonight, right?
Yeah. It's going to be a tough ask for Manton. They just don't have the size to match up with Lake City. Could it happen? Yeah. I mean, you could always have a game where Lauren Wilder just goes crazy for 40-some points or something like that.
She scores wild points, no pun intended.
I don't know that Lake City has a guard that really matches up with her well. They'll probably do like they did last time and put Mackenzie Bisball on her, which presents its troubles of its own because, you know, she's a 6-footer that moves pretty well. So it's just if there wasn't that size mismatch that Lake City presents with them, I would say Manton has a pretty good fighting chance.
Yeah.
You know, but it's such a disadvantage. Weirder things have happened, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's as every coach says, it's tough to beat a team three times.
Yep.
The coaches that are 2-0 say that, and the coaches that are 0-2 say that.
Yep.
And but we will see. And check out the Record Eagle Tuesday e-edition and online for coverage of all of tonight's girls' basketball games. So if you're listening to this, go and check up on James's story, Jordan's story, and then my roundup of the other games that happened on Monday. Let's hear one more word from our sponsor. Oh, well, let me mention the other games that we have as well tonight. Division II, number 4 Negaunee, 23-1, taking on 13-10 Petoskey at Manistique, and then the Inland Lakes Bulldogs taking on St. Ignace at Harbor Light. So now, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Jimmy John's, and then we will get into the Get Around Hall of Fame and nominate three more student athletes for induction into the most exclusive club in Northern Michigan. This episode of the Get Around is brought to you by Jimmy John's and their two locations here in Traverse City. At Jimmy John's, there are freaks about fresh bread, meats, and veggies because that means better sandwiches for all. Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah.
Oh yeah.
Get Around Hall of Fame time. Three nominees this week. We're down to basketball.
Whoop whoop.
And I will put up the aforementioned Olivia Flynn and her. Does she go by Liv, though? Do you guys know?
Flinny.
Some people call her that, but I think a decent number of people still call her Olivia.
Okay. All right. Well, her near triple-double in Harbor Springs District Championship win, she scored 26 points with 10 rebounds and 8 assists in a 47-39 victory over Bark River Harris on Friday. James, your nomination.
Yeah, I'm going to go with McBain, big man Evan Haverkamp that we mentioned before. He had 17 points in that win over Sanford Meridian. And just, you know, Sanford Meridian's one of their best players. They put on him throughout the game, and the guy was giving up a few inches and everything, but he was more of a perimeter player on offense, so he shot a bunch of threes and stuff. But as that game went on, that player wore down. Evan Haverkamp just wore him down, and in the second half, he was not nearly as good as he was in the first, and Sanford Meridian was basically down to one scorer because Haverkamp had just taken one out of the game, kind of.
Haverkamp has great cardio. Like, you can, like, his stamina on the court is really impressive.
Yeah, they usually give him, like, if he's not in foul trouble, they give him, like, a quick breather usually in the second quarter, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Like a minute or two in the second quarter.
Yeah, even when I was watching him at San Francis, he was always running up and down the court for speed, and it was the fourth quarter, and he's almost looks like he didn't break a sweat. It was impressive.
Super. All right, Jordan, your nomination.
Yeah, I'm going down the street to TC Central, Saw Junior, Lucia, France. One of these days, I will feel so proud of myself. I have 14 points and 18 boards to help Central secure their first district finals win since 2006. So that's my nominee.
All right, let's vote. And then I'll put all three of them in at the end. So, yes, congratulations to Harbor Springs, Olivia Flynn, McBain's Evan Haverkamp, and Traverse City Central's Lucia France. You are the latest inductees into the Get Around Hall of Fame.
I think
the
that's most Flynn's
exclusive club in Northern Michigan.
That's Flynn's second straight.
But did she make it last week, too?
Yeah, because that was on my nomination, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's crazy. That's wild.
I've kind of given up on us not nominating the same person.
There you go. Because I looked, I saw.
I just go, yeah, whoever had a good performance.
Yeah, because I saw, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, back at it again.
You know, there's probably some student athlete out there who's like, yeah, I'm a five-time inductee in the Get Around Hall of Fame.
You know, I can walk in that club whenever I want.
Anthony Weibel, probably.
I got a gold jacket and a green jacket.
Yeah.
All right. Since we've got to be heading out here rather soon to go cover some games, let's wrap up the show with our happy endings, talk about what made us happy inside and or outside of sports from the last week. Anyone want to get started? Was anyone happy last week?
I was.
Oh, okay, good.
Sun was out. It's been nice. It's been nice to see the sun out. You know, it's been nice. I've really appreciated my time with the sun. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to going home in a couple weeks. Well, 2 weeks, not this week, but next week I'll be heading home. Very excited for that. And then, if we're doing inside sports, want to bench them all together. Now, I understand the news that broke midnight. Well, most people were sleeping. Not even myself was sleeping. Very excited to see Russell Wilson wearing black and gold. You can ring the bell. Talking about the Steelers. Very excited. It's new. He's throwing more touchdown passes than Kenny Pickett has in his past two seasons. I understand that. He's throwing less interceptions than Kenny Pickett has in his past two seasons. Beautiful. So this is up. We're shooting upwards. We're going up. We're not going down. So I'm excited to see Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, come to the Steel City.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're giving up. I'm on board. Fields.
Yeah, they're not getting him. I think what I realize is they rather have not given up draft picks or capital as opposed to paying a guy peanuts, which is $1 million, which I know for us that seems like a lot, but if you're a football player, $1 million is less than what they're paying Kenny Pickett. So he's playing for free, and this guy's a Super Bowl champion. Let's not forget about that. He won a Super Bowl before the Steelers had in a long time. So I'm excited.
Okay. James, what made you happy over the last week?
Well, I'm getting over this cold just in time to be able to go back out to basketball games.
That's awesome.
Over the weekend, so that's good. It's NFL free agency, so that is always a fun time. Even the Lions have been quiet. People are already grumbling that they haven't signed anybody. And it's like, you people have not learned to not trust Brad Holmes.
Gotta trust the man. Gotta trust him.
But
we live in a day where everyone wants the instant gratification.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
They re-signed Graham Glasgow. That was the big one that they needed to do today. So.
Oh yeah.
Anything else making you happy? You're just happy that free agency is here and you get to follow updates on your phone all the time.
And we got enough teams in there that we're busy. Enough teams in the basketball playoffs.
Oh yeah.
This is awesome.
Keep us busy for the next couple weeks, so that's always fun too.
Yeah.
All right. I would say making me happy over the last week. I really enjoyed the Oscars broadcast last night. That was quite a lot of fun. I really liked that it started an hour early.
I loved it.
Which was fantastic. That was
Lakers right after.
That was fun. I also enjoyed the sun and being able to get out. But I will say, if it was winter's last gasp, the snow that we got, what was that, Saturday night?
Yes, two days ago.
Saturday.
Yeah, which was gone in an instant.
It filled my winter lover's heart so much to open my door and see snow. And I was just like, oh, okay. That's really nice. It looks so pretty outside again. Because when the snow melts, I look around at my house and I realize I have so much work to do on the outside of my house. And I'm always, and so far this winter I've been like, just snow and cover it up all the time so I don't have to look at it and think about it.
I was wondering where you were going with this.
So, yeah, that certainly made me happy. And then inside of sports, I'm happy that we've got some good teams to cover here in boys and girls basketball going down the stretch of the season. Should be a lot of fun. Although I will break the news here. I'll be gone all of next week, so I won't be around. And I have full faith in both of you that you'll be able to hold things down without a problem.
You said hopefully.
So, I
know what you mean. I was just reeling you back.
But I'm also like, I mean, it'll be fine. So I'm more than happy to put that trust in the both of you. So
yeah, we got this.
Well, that will bring episode 278 of the Get Around podcast to a close. Thank you to James. Thank you to Jordan. Thank you to our lovely and loyal Audible viewers. We did go guestless this week. If you guys were wondering, we went guestless this week because we've got to head out and cover some girls basketball here, and that's what we'll be doing tonight. So look for our coverage later tonight online. This won't be up before our coverage is up. So just go to therecordeagle.com and check out our coverage from tonight's game and follow us all week for the best coverage here in Northern Michigan. Thanks again, and have a good rest of the week. Episode 278 of the Get Around is now in the books.